That's why the Bible says they're without excuse. They have no excuse. They came by and said, oh, he says he could tear a temple down, he'd raise that in 3 days. Go ahead. If you be God's son, let him come down off that cross. Mocking him. You know what Hebrews 10:28 says, honey? It says, of how much sore punishment should you be thought worthy of them who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant an unholy thing. If you don't think God's going to get you for that, you're sadly mistaken. God had so much love that he would die for us and raise for us. But God's got so much hate for sin, it won't be pretty for those who don't believe it. So it's talking about the gospel. You say, Tom, is that good news? Well, certainly that's good news. But you remember what he said about that. Does anyone remember what he said about the gospel? It was according to something. Who said that? Oh, thank you.
Oh,
A. An A, yeah.
I want a plus.
A plus? Oh, for crying out loud, a plus. Well, I tell you what, it's never enough for his class. You give them an A and they want an A plus. According to the scriptures. Remember I told you, Paul didn't have the New Testament here, folks. He's not preaching to them out of the four Gospels or John or Romans or Acts or Corinthians or Ephesians or Galatians or any of those. He's preaching the gospel according to the Old Testament. According to the scriptures, it says. Well, I thought it'd be nice this morning if we just go back and maybe look at a few of them. A few examples of what he could have used. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a verse. And you're going to stand and read that verse. And then you're going to analyze that verse. And you're going to break that verse down and tell me how that pertains to the gospel. How you like that? We get a little participation going, right? So who wants the first one? Don't be too eager. All right, Sandy. Genesis 3:15. Thank you. My preacher brother back here, he's helping me out now. Because I'm going by memory and mine's not working. Genesis 3:15. And then I'm going to I know where it's at in my Bible, but trying to remember. And then Genesis 49. Just go there. No. Chapter 49. So those three. Who wants the second one?
What
verses? Well, I'll tell you in a minute. Just go to Genesis 12. It talks about being blessed, about Abraham being blessed. It's in the right-hand column of mine, top of the page. And then Genesis 49, I believe it's 49 and 10 maybe. It talks about the scepter shall not depart from, who's got that? Is that 49:10? Well, my memory's a little better than I thought. Okay, now, so we got three people that's got to. So, Sandy. Oh, yeah, and Genesis, Psalms 2. Psalms 2, who wants that one? Psalms 2. Who wants to read that one? Psalms 2. Who? Yeah, okay, Psalms 2. Diane, you've got that one. Psalms 2. You got a Bible, honey?
Yeah.
Well, bring you a Bible. That's more important than your glasses. Now, okay, Psalms 2. Now, we'll get others later, but I think this is going to take all the time I got today because you know how I am. All right, so Sandy, you're going to stand and read that one. Now, have you found yours yet? Well, but honey, it says, I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse you. And
okay.
You got that? It's chapter 12 and verse something. Is it verse 2? Verse 3? Okay, okay. Okay, okay, good. All right, okay, now go ahead.
He gave you chapter 3, verse 15.
I did, I believe. I'll tell you when you start reading.
And I will put enmity between you and the woman.
Okay.
And between your seed and her seed.
Okay. Okay, now, that's the verse, right?
Yes.
Now I want you to analyze that for us and tell us what it's talking about. Don't look back there, honey. That can't help you.
Was it talking about the Antichrist?
No.
Satan?
Don't you help her. Don't you help her.
You're on the right track, honey.
You don't help. We don't do cheat in this class. I'll come over here and help you, honey. I'm the
something
teacher.
About woman when she sinned against God and Satan.
All right, now what is the gospel about? How that Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and
rose again.
Now that's the gospel, right?
That's
so he's got to, according to the scriptures, he said.
Yes.
And you married her. Now, I want you to read that carefully. Okay. Read the first part.
And I will put enmity.
All right, now what does the word enmity mean?
That means I will put distance.
Or hatred.
Hatred.
Okay, so I will put hatred between.
You and the woman.
No, yeah, between the woman and.
Oh, and between your seed and her seed.
Okay, now, sit down. Now, what he's talking about is this. Satan has caused Eve to sin, right?
Yes.
So there's the sin.
Yes.
Now, whose fault is it?
Whose fault is the sin?
Yeah. Well, no, it's not. It's Satan's fault. The woman is responsible for her sin, but it's Satan that brought it into the garden. So he says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put hatred between you and the woman. Now, why don't he say anything about the man? Why does he say you and the woman? You can't tell me because you've not studied this. Oh, please. See, y'all not even thinking right. Now, listen. I'll give you a verse in the New Testament, and then you'll say, oh. The light comes on. He says, and in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. So what he's saying is this. Listen, you've created this sin problem now, but I've already got a plan. I'm going to send my son, and he's going to be born strictly of a woman. There won't be a man involved. Why? Well, why won't there be a man involved in this? Well, because if a man's involved, then you're born into sin.
Oh, yeah.
See, they can't be a man here because this has got to be a sinless child. This has got to be a perfect child. This has got to be a child without blemish. And therefore, he says, listen, I was born of a woman. That ain't possible. Come on, ladies. That ain't possible. You know it, and I know it. You can't just one day say, well, I think I'll have a baby. That ain't going to happen. But it's going to happen with God because he can do anything he wants to. And his plan is he's going to send his son born of a woman so that he's born into the flesh because he's got to be in the flesh. Otherwise, he can't understand our infirmities, he says. He says, but he is born of the flesh. Therefore, he says, born of a woman, born under the law. Now, listen. That covers everyone. To redeem them that are under the law. Who's under the law? Huh? Everybody. Jew and Gentile both under the law. Next time somebody tells you that we're not under law, we're under grace, that ain't right. Grace saves you. But let me tell you something. If you're not saved by grace, you'll be judged by the law and you will flunk. Because if you failed one thing, you failed it all. And God said, I ain't come to do away with the law. I come to fulfill the law. So the law's there. It's hanging over you. But you know what will take that thing from hanging over you? Grace. Because Christ came and fulfilled the law. And if you're in Him, therefore you fulfill the law, you're clear. So He says, that's what I'm going to do. That's my plan. And I'm going to do it through my Son. I mean, in the very beginning, He's got this plan. But He's also got a purpose in the plan mentioned in chapter 12. And we're going to have somebody read that.
Yes, that would be me.
Well, you got to stand and read. And read loudly.
Now, do you, okay, you said about the blessing, about the nation or just
you? Just read.
Okay, I want to start with verse 2.
That'd be fine.
I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great.
Now, stop. Who's He talking to?
Abraham.
Huh? He's talking to Abraham, but notice what He says now. Go ahead.
And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be.
Stop! That ain't possible. That ain't possible. You can't be blessed by Abraham. Abraham's dead. You can't be, wait, don't be teaching, I'm teaching. Listen, Abraham is dead. So how is God going to bless the whole world through a dead person? Well, through his seed. Oh, he's only got one son. His name was, he tried to have him a son on his own, but God said, no, that's not my purpose and that's not my plan. Ishmael ain't going to get it. Now, I'll take care of Ishmael. And he did. Listen, Ishmael became a great nation of Arab people, right? That can be saved. Hey, they've chosen the wrong God so far, but hey, that don't mean they lost forever. They choose Christ, they'll be redeemed. But he says, I'll give you the son. Remember what he told Sarah?
Yes.
In 1 year's time, I'm gonna visit you and you're going to have a child. And she
laughed.
She laughed. Why did she laugh, honey? Ain't possible. You laugh only when something ain't possible. She says, are you kidding? I mean, I'm 90 year old. I ain't having no child. What's wrong with you? And he said, why'd you laugh, Sarah? Oh, I didn't laugh. Yes, you did. Because she laughed inwardly. The Bible says she laughed inwardly. But he knew she was laughing. He says, oh, I'll take that life right away from you. I'll wipe that grin off your face, what my dad used to say. Hey, I'll wipe that grin right off your face because in a year's time, you're going to have a son. And in your son, I'm going to bless the whole world. Well, that ain't possible. No, it's not. That ain't possible. It ain't possible that Isaac could bless the whole world. Isaac's dead. So what's he talking about? He's got to be talking to somebody that ain't dead, right? You're going to get this in a minute. He says, look, through Isaac's seed, somebody's going to come. Somebody's going to come. Well, look, all you got to do is go to Matthew chapter 1 and you'll see the lineage. Not only did he come through Isaac, he come through David. Now, why would he have to come through David? No, huh? No, why? Help out, brother. King, listen, if he's the king, he's got to have blue blood. He's got to be an heir to the throne. You didn't just go say, well, I'm running for king like we do now, I'm running for president. No, they didn't elect the king. The king came through the lineage, the father and the son. That's how the king came. You remember what the blind man said to Jesus as he passed by? You remember what he said? Oh, thou son of David! Why in the world would he say that to him? He wasn't David's son, was he? Oh, that blind man knew, hey, he's in the lineage of David and he's my king, bless God, and he's the son of God. I mean, why else would he ask him what he asked him? Why would a blind man go up to anybody and say, would you heal me? Well, they'd look sort of stupid unless they was talking to somebody that could do it. He said, oh, thou son of David. What's the next words? Have mercy. Well, honey, look, you could talk to me till I'm blue in the face to give you mercy. I can't offer you mercy. I don't have mercy for anybody. Oh, I can show empathy, but I can't show mercy. Mercy is forgiving sin. Mercy is looking on someone that has rejected you and denied you, and all of a sudden they realize that and they come to you and they know they're guilty and they know they deserve death. They know that. But now they're asking for, isn't that what they do in the courts? They know they're guilty. They throw themselves on the... Why? Because they're talking to the only one that can show them that. Well, let me tell you something. This blind man knew he was talking to the only one that could show him mercy. Folks, that's the gospel. That's the gospel not according to the New Testament. That's the gospel according to the Old Testament. Who had Psalms, Genesis 49? Yeah, read that, brother.
The scepter shall not depart from you, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes.
Okay, stop. Now, first of all, what's a scepter? Huh? Well, it's a rod. A staff. And it, yeah, right here. Thank you, brother. Well, I'll tell you what, that's the real thing. Now, I can either y'all know what I'm doing, don't you? What am I doing? I'm fighting. Listen, it was either used for fighting or it was used for I had a friend yesterday. I was playing golf with him. Bless his heart. He had a plantar fasciitis, and he's going, like, you know. I start saying, "Son, you don't need to be out here." But anyway, it helps you to walk, but it also means to rule. You know what the Bible says Jesus is going to do? When he comes back, he's going to rule in a certain way. With a... his scepter is not going to be wood, brother. His scepter is going to be iron. I mean, I could hit you with this piece of wood, it'd hurt. But if I hit you with a piece of iron, it really going to hurt. He says he's going to rule with a rod of iron. So it means ruling. So you know right there that it's not talking about anyone other than a ruler, right? It says, but it's not going to depart. There'll always be this rod, where? In Judah, until him whom to whom it belongs. That's what Shiloh means. To him to whom it belongs. Does what? C-O-M comes. That must tell you something. He's coming. Bless God, he's coming. Well, isn't that what the New Testament teaches? Well, it's also what the Old Testament teaches. Did you know that the Old Testament teaches more about the second coming than it does the first coming? Why? Why? Why would it teach more about the second coming? What happened on the first coming? Well, but what did he do? That's the gospel. How that he died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again, right? That's his first coming, right? Well, wouldn't you think that's the most important thing? Did you know what is sad, honey? I'm talking to you because nobody's listening. Did you know what's sad? They're still looking for him.
Yeah. They're still looking for him. That is very, very sad.
They're still looking for him. Not just Jews, folks. Gentiles are still looking for him. Because they've got this warped sense of his coming. See, they thought, the Jews thought, that he was going to come and beat down the Romans and that they were going to have all the power in the world. Well, what do you think Gentiles think? Bless God, they want all the power in the world. Look, do you know why people run for political office?
Power.
No other, listen, if they tell you, don't fall for this nonsense they give you. I just want to serve. I mean, I spend $10 million to get a job that pays $180,000 a year. And I just want to serve. Well, if you want to serve, take that $10 million, bless God, give it poor. You could help them a whole lot. But it's all about power. Well, listen, there'll be no power until the power comes. And that's what it's talking about. But all those things refer to one thing. Somebody turn to Romans chapter 1. And raise your hand when you're there. Romans chapter 1. I know what it says, but I want you to read it. Okay, stand and read now.
Start at
the first verse, yeah. Stop. Now, Paul is going to identify himself here. And the first thing that he says is this. I am a willing slave. Nobody's making me do this. I want to do this. Listen, let me tell you something. These people say, bless God, I have to go to church. God help them. If you don't want to be here, stay home. Because you're not doing anything for God. Because he ain't interested in your have-tos. He's looking for willing servants, folks. He's looking for people that knows he died for me. I can't honestly say that without breaking up.
Yeah.
I know what he's done for me. Surely I know who I was. I know all I've done. Nobody else in here knows what I've done. He knew what I've done. And you know what he said, Becky? He said, bless God, I don't care what you've done. I've died for you.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
Yes. I want to be here. I love being here. Go ahead. Stop. Now he's a willing servant, but he just didn't make himself an apostle. That boy right there, he's a willing servant, but he didn't make himself a preacher. I don't believe that. Listen, these people choose preachers to be a career, and God help them is all I can say. God don't choose people to be a preacher for career. He's choosing you to preach the gospel for a reason. And he wants certain people. And bless God, that's his business. He didn't call me. Yeah. People want to know why I don't preach. I said, bless God, because I didn't get called to preach. And I'll share this with you and take it for what it's worth. I wished for years that I could be a preacher. But I wasn't called. You just don't one day say, well, I think I'm going to be a preacher. No. Paul didn't say, well, I think I'm going to be an apostle. Matter of fact, Paul says, I'm going to go down and kill me some Christians. God said, no, I'm going to call you to be an apostle. Hey, like that. Huh? Yeah. So he says, I'm a willing servant, but I'm a called apostle. And then what does it say?
Separated to the gospel of God.
Us. Why do you... What does that mean to be separated to the gospel of God, Becky? What does it mean? What does it mean? Here's what it means. Here's what it means. Paul couldn't do anything else. You remember what Jeremiah said about preaching? Jeremiah said, I'm going to quit. I've had enough of this. I'm preaching to a bunch of people that won't listen. I'm just going to quit. I'm going out and get under this juniper tree, get in the shade, bless God, and I'm going to quit. And Larry says, no, bless God, you're not going to quit. Because it burns in your bones. You can't stand it. You get up in the morning and it's burning in there. And you say, boy, I wish it's Sunday morning. I'd like to get back there and teach me some more of that because it's burning inside me. Forget the depression I'm in. Forget the discouragements I've got. I can't wait to get it out. Yeah. Well, that's what he says. I separate unto it. And then what does he say?
Which he promised before through his promise.
What did he promise? What did he promise? His son. He says, I'm separated unto the gospel, the good news, which God promised. God promised good news, didn't he? Huh? Hey, well, you know what? He says, his promises are always yea, they're never nay. If he promised you something,
he gonna do it.
No, he ain't going to do it. It's done. See, that's the thing with God. When God promises, it ain't going to be, it is. See, and so when he says to Mila, he says, honey, I'll tell you what. If you come unto me, I know you're laboring, but if you'll come unto me, I'll give you rest. Mila, if you come to me, I won't in no wise cast you out. All who call upon the name of the Lord, I tell you, Helen, if you'll just come to me, I'll save you. Oh, tell me. And I, you know what? You don't come to him thinking it's going to be done. You come to him thinking it's already done. All I got to do is believe him. So he says, concerning his son. I just read you in the Old Testament concerning his son. Let me tell you something and then I'm done. I had a few more minutes, but I'm done. About wore out. All we've got to give out is the good news. We don't have any bad news to give. God didn't give us any bad news to give. You say, well, what about hell? Well, that's not the gospel. Thank you, honey. That's the consequences of not believing the gospel. I mean, you couldn't go out to somebody and say, oh, I've got good news for you. You're going to hell. Boy, did you hear the good news? You're going to hell. Oh, wonderful news. God's got wonderful news for you. You're going to hell. No, the good news is Christ. Christ. How that he died for our sins and that he was buried and that he raised again. And Romans chapter 5 says, chapter 4, the end of chapter 4, I believe it is. If I'm wrong, you forgive me. It says, how that he was raised for our justification in the sight of God. And chapter 5, verse 1 says, and that by his that righteousness shall we gain peace. Well, you can't be right apart from God. And you can't be right with God and be in your sin. Because that ain't right. That's wrong. Now, what do I have for you to read, honey? Well, let's read it. Hurry up. I got to hurry. Hurry. Read it. No, 2, honey, chapter 2. Let's go. 6, starting in 6. Read fast. Let's go. Chapter 6. I want you to listen to this now.
Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion.
Okay. He's not talking about David. He's talking about his son. Go ahead. Read.
I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all that put their trust in him.
Thank you. Now I made a little note and then I'm done. I made a little note right here. I'm going to give it to you. Just a little note and then I'm done. Here's my note on that. Where it says, be wise now therefore, you kings. I put rulers. Government rulers. Republicans and Democrats and independents alike. Government rulers. And then it says, be instructed. You judges of the earth. Religious rulers. Rulers of the law. Those who stand and proclaim they know God. Well, you better know God according to this. You better be separated unto the gospel of God, bless God. You got nothing to give out. You might as well go home. You're charging people for nothing. And then it says this, kiss the Son. Why would he put that in there? Because, bless God, it's concerning his Son. Listen, you better kiss Jesus while you can. Because the day will come when you won't be able to. Good night. Or good day. Is it night or day? I never know. Yeah, okay.